We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here for the fourth and final quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. This is Ask Greg. This is our, as promised, our own Greg Pickle here answering your Penn State football and recruiting questions. We've got some good ones here. We always take your questions. There's a Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app. Also by email, info@ksnsports.net, if you want to send them that way. Contact Greg on Twitter, @GregPickle. Contact our Twitter account, @KSNSportsNet. Fire your questions off. We will mark them down. We will read through them and have Greg answer them intimately and personally. Starting with a question that first came through the Keystone Sports app. Jeremy from Pittsburgh. Greg, this came up, I think, the cornerback segment we did earlier on the show. Mm-hmm. Incredibly random question, but what do you think Jabari Butler, who transferred in last year, cracks our defensive back rotation? Sounds like he's got some wheels, maybe a gunner on special teams.
Yeah, speed kills. There's no question that this kid has speed. I think that when you look at what Terry Smith and Brent Pry have done over the last few years, Dustin, that a guy like this could maybe have a spot deep in the corner rotation, but to me, he's more of a special teams guy. Maybe he gets some work as a returner. Maybe he's just a gunner, but I think you'll see him on the field. Penn State did not bring him in just for the sake of doing so. They didn't bring him in to, sit out a year and wait for his eligibility to come back just to let him sit again. So they clearly think this kid, for good, and has speed, and because of that, I think it's a plus. The other thing with him, and this has nothing to do with this year, but he's from Bishop Gorman. He played at Las Vegas Bishop Gorman, which has a ton of recruiting talent year in and year out. So that's a nice little line Penn State has to that school now that it didn't have before. As for Butler's 2018 outlooks, like I said, I don't necessarily know if I see him making a big impact on the numbers of reps at the cornerback spot, but I do see him playing special teams and, like I said, maybe returner as well.
The Penn State will go beyond their top four corners. I think they proved that last year. Not a ton, but they will go beyond their top four. That's really the only shot that Jabari Butler, I think, would have at playing any kind of role on the defense, is if they get beyond Tariq Castro-Fields, beyond Zach McPherson and Imani Oruwariye. John Reed, obviously, being locked in as a starter as long as he's healthy. So I think he would probably need... He would need some extenuating circumstances to get any kind of consistent run, it would seem. But as you mentioned, there's several other good reasons to bring him in. It's not something that Penn State does a lot, bring in transfer players. But with that speed and a really concerted effort to raise the overall speed of the team, of the roster, Butler serves its purpose and if he plays on special teams and makes a couple plays there, then I think he's worth the time.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it, especially considering this is a guy that was a FCS conference player of the year at the school he was at previously. So he doesn't just come for the sake of coming in and trying to compete. He has some accolades to back up what he's done so far in his college career, so we shall see how it all plays out.
We'll get into some of the questions that you got here on Twitter, Greg. First one, I'm not sure if there's a real answer here, but maybe you can just speak to the overall vibe from the limited amount of practice reps you do see.
Right.
It's worth saying that whenever media is invited to a practice, it's not a lot of practice. And a lot of times there's stretching and that kind of thing. It's a pretty vanilla.
Yes.
What you see. You can draw your own conclusion. So, his question is, how different are the running back and wide receiver drills of Josh Gattis and Coach Huff compared to the coaches now?
Yeah.
And how are the players responding?
I mean, look, there might be a thing or two that Juwan Saito or David Corley brought with them from their old school that Ricky Ronnie and James Franklin said, yeah, let's do that. Let's try that. But for the most part, Dustin, these things are all pretty much the same at place to place. I mean, it's not like... it's not like you need a bunch of special drills to teach a guy to catch the ball and run with it. So, I don't see a whole lot changing. The one thing I will say though is that, the Charles Huff big thing was throwing tennis balls and beach balls at guys where they were catching punts to sort of stimulate oncoming runners and stuff like that, and chaos, the need for just, focus. Yeah, yeah. Well, the one thing I saw him doing the other day was wearing boxing gloves while trying to catch it. So I don't know if Huff ever did that, but maybe that's one neat,
unique
wrinkle.
There's different variations,
right,
of
yeah.
it. You want to make chaos the norm,
right,
at those spots. And I remember seeing our Pittsburgh Steelers reporter at Penn Live, Jacob Klinger, posted a video that ended up getting seen a lot of Antonio Brown with just an armful of footballs,
yeah,
trying to catch a football,
yep,
on a punt. That's just what they do. There, you might have some variations, but in the end, and you said something to this effect earlier, that, you know, coaching these positions, I don't think there's a huge variations from coach to coach.
If there was, you wouldn't be able to have David Corley go from running back to wide receiver. Seriously, though, I mean, you right. wouldn't have you. He couldn't go from running back to wide receiver. Tyler Bowen couldn't go from offensive line to tight ends to receivers back to tight ends. I mean, these are all pretty, you know, fill in the blank. Not necessarily completely fill in the blank, but I mean, you have to obviously know what you're doing. But it's not like we're talking about, you know, guys bring drills with them from other schools that are going to magically turn Miles Sanders into Saquon Barkley, for example. It's not necessarily. I think it's more uniformed across college football than most realize, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
So I think
it's a fair question, though. People probably do wonder about it.
And really, I think it opens up a broader conversation that, you know, the technique is the technique.
Right.
And I think you can familiarize whether you played that position in college, whether you coached it at previous stops. If you know offense and you know you can familiarize yourself with training and teaching the technique required, you can coach multiple positions. I also think that certain initiatives, certain priorities, and certain things you're trying to teach is going to come from the top down. And when it comes to position coach,
mm-hmm.
Their position coach is going to have the closest relationship with the players on the team.
Yeah.
And that matters. But really, there's going to be a certain degree of carrying out the program-wide initiatives and expectations for that position. And that's why you have, you know, the circumstances that you just mentioned. But
exactly.
It's a fair question.
Yeah.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football. This is Ask Greg. Your Penn State football and recruiting questions for Greg Pickle here. Next question. Any chance there's more of a two-quarterback system this year, or at the very least, Tommy Stevens getting more time toward the end of games?
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't. The end of game thing is, it has nothing to do with Tommy Stevens, Ricky Ronnie, Trace McSorley. To me, and I mean, we might have a different opinion on this, but when James Franklin gets asked about it, he is as clear as could possibly be that, you know, hey, look, we are not going to take all of our guys out until we feel comfortable. And sometimes 40 points against the Appalachian States of the world, they don't feel comfortable. So I don't necessarily know if we will see more of him, because I don't know if that philosophy has changed. Do I think we'll see more of him package-wise in terms of wide receiver, running back, tight end, this, that, the other thing? Yeah, I do.
I think there's a certain amount of, let's say, paranoia for James Franklin when it comes to getting these other guys on the field. There are certain positions where it's just known that they're going to go three, four deep,
yeah,
you know, defensive line, for example. But for the same reason that Miles Sanders just didn't see a whole lot of run for 2 years behind Saquon Barkley, the same reason that no tight end besides Mike Gesicki really saw the field,
right,
is a reason why you wouldn't see Trace McSorley sitting in favor of Tommy Stevens in any situation where it could be deemed premature, because
right,
I think James Franklin is well aware of the crazy stuff that can happen, even if it's low, low, low probability of, say, Georgia State coming back to beat you. I think he wants to put his best foot forward all the time, and it's hard for him to break out of that pattern, so to
correct
speak. So I don't
yep
think you're going to see Tommy Stevens in a true quarterback role as much as you think, but I think his role grows for sure, and I think part of that role is his ability to beat teams with his arm. And you're going to see him put in position where opposing defenses have to make tough choices. They're not going to know whether he's going to run a route, whether he's going to come across the formation, whether he's going to be a wildcat quarterback on a design run, whether he's going to be a wildcat quarterback and actually be a quarterback on that play. He's got the rare ability to beat you with arm, legs, and as a receiver.
Yeah.
So I think Penn State's going to utilize that. And yeah, sometimes that's going to mean as a quarterback, but I don't think it's going to be entire series at a time as a quarterback. I think that's going to be the difference. I don't think you're going to see a two quarterback system. No. That's just my guess.
No,
that's
there's no chance that happens unless Trace McSorley would get hurt. The only way I could see that happening, Dustin, is if Trace McSorley would get hurt for a number of games, Tommy Stevens would come in and perform well, and then Trace McSorley would come back, and maybe Penn State would opt to do it then. But as long as McSorley stays healthy, it's so weird to me that Trace McSorley is a Heisman Trophy candidate, and we spend so much of our time talking about Tommy Stevens. But that's just the way it is with Trace. I mean, Trace is such an unassuming, under-the-radar, laid-back guy that, you know, he's just doing what he's doing this spring. Now, he will talk this week, so we will have more on him in future KSN shows. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it's just kind of amazing that, you know, this guy is a Heisman Trophy contender and he just gets talked about so little. But it speaks to all he's done and just kind of who he is.
He'll go down, I think, as one of the most taken for granted players Penn State's had in a while.
Sure.
Especially when you consider with a third full season at the quarterback spot, I don't know where he's at on a lot of these different record pursuits, but he's going to be well up there. He's going to be the top. He's going to hold a bunch of records, I think, by the time it's all said and done. So there's no chance that Tommy Stevens will be splitting in any way. I think he's just in those times where he can pose a threat with his arm. Any update on the progression of Brendan Faison, Walden, Braylon Franklin, Robert Martin? Braylon Faison Walden, I think, is what they meant there. And spelled it Faison Walden, which I hope that's not prophetic for him.
Yeah, I hope not either.
So really just redshirt freshmen that have been, I think, intentionally flown under the radar a little bit. It takes something pretty exceptional for a redshirt freshman who you know isn't going to see the field to make any kind of headline at all.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I look at this group. Mac Kippenhammer and KJ Hamler both have gotten a lot of play so far early here in the spring. Eter Grossmontos is a sophomore, so he doesn't count, but Jonathan Sutherland does, and he's a guy that we've talked about fighting for time at safety. Corey Bowles and Fred Hansard are two redshirt freshmen that should, I would think, along with Damian Barber, play a role in Sean Spencer's defensive tackle rotation. Sean Clifford's going to be the number three quarterback and would be quickly moved to number two if one of the other guys got hurt. Jake Zembic, I just don't, I guess he'll stay with the program through the season, but I don't. He's so far down the depth chart now that that's a different talking point. But the guys that you mentioned, I mean, Mike Moran is going to fight for a job, but when you look at Braylon Faison Walden, Braylon Franklin, and the other guy was
Robert Martin.
Robert Martin, yeah. I mean, there's just not a whole lot out there about those guys right now. I think that we thought that maybe one of the Braylons would be able to play early. I don't know if that's the case at this point. You'd like to hear more about them if it was going to be the case. And then with Robbie Martin, I just think that Penn State's at a point along the offensive line where it's going to be mostly older guys for a little bit, unless a guy like C.J. Thorpe or maybe Mike Miranda takes such a big step forward that Penn State has no choice but to play him.
So with Franklin and Faison Walden, they were built to be – they came in as developmental players. They didn't really have
And they were tweeners, too. Their linebackers were their safeties. Someone's, you want to say it's not – I don't think that's always the best thing in the world.
They're going to take time. Robbie Martin, built to be a swing player, built to be a reserve before he's anything else. All right. That's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Good job by Greg. This show was all about him. You can check out the full show, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and go download the Keystone Sports app.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG. 405-LONG.